Hello, everybody, and welcome to our next call in the Transform Emotions into Energy series. This day, we're looking at transforming overexcitement and sadness alike. And as we work with those, they are often a little misunderstood in terms of the overexcitement side of things. So I'm going to start off by addressing that part, and then we're going to get into the element itself. And then we're going to talk about the meridians. Since I gave you a bit of a preview yesterday, there's four that go on with this guy. So no shortage of information to chat about. But having said that, I'm gonna keep it probably a little on that lighter side again. I'm aiming for that 20-minute mark again. We'll see how we get on with that. Okay, y'all. So as we transform overexcitement, sadness alike into joy, let's talk about that word overexcitement. Unhealthy forms of joy exist, and sometimes that pathological joy gets in the way of us relating to what actual, real, true joy is for ourselves. Now, that form of more on the pathological side of joy might look like that type of overexcitement where you're so excited about something happening maybe the next day that you can't sleep. Think back to when you were a kid, Christmas morning perhaps was one of those days, or any other big event that you've celebrated recently or any time in your life. All of that energy of overexcitement is usually joy tinged with some amount of fear, which is creating that overexcitement loop in one of its phases of fear that we've talked about on that first session. Now, another form of sort of the not so healthy joy would be nostalgia. If people are locked into nostalgia, looking at old photos or old times, reminiscing about times gone by, it's a sign that they might not be so connected to the joy in the present moments of what's working well for them in their lives right now. They might be stuck literally in the past looking for joy in hindsight. And that might get in the way of them actually connecting to the joy that's present and available here and now. And from our perspective in body talk, free fall, Chinese medicine alike, joy is our vitality. Joy is your birthright. And as we work with it, we're going to talk about the element that correlates to it. That is the element of fire. And I'm recognizing, actually, I just didn't talk about sadness so much. So sadness, and let me briefly speak to that too, works with the call, essentially, is what it's asking for you to sit with yourself and enter a state of deep rest. If the body doesn't get that connection to deep rest, then we honestly, more times than not, end up in what we call depression. Now, as I've been talking about these emotions, one thing that I haven't mentioned a whole lot of, I think I did a little bit more on the first day, is that all of these also have ancestral energies behind them. So your relationship to having deep rest might not be even your thing. It might be something from however many generations ago down the maternal, paternal family lines, or potentially both happening at the same time. Things can get juicy for sure here. So as we talk about these, I just wanted to mention that again because I don't think I touched on it a whole lot in the last few days. But know that we're taking that into account and into consideration as to where all these things are coming from. Okay, so sadness is a call for deep rest, and it doesn't get it. Depression is not uncommon to have as an occurrence. As if our body mind has the wisdom to take over and help us to experience what's most important for us without us even knowing about it. So in terms of the element, fire. Fire element is very much about expansion to the fullest. It's about maximum expansion. And it likes to, as I think you can see, connect to growth and to life to help it to expand, just that. So if we think of a fire in our backyard, a forest fire, anything like that, it is hungry for oxygen, it's hungry for life, it's hungry to burn more vitally and burn brighter. So our fire element, with all that energy behind it, helps to connect to our sense of who it is we are. I am. Full stop, full sentence. I am. And it's this connection to the awareness of who we really are that speaks to maybe the human condition as to when that gets covered up a little bit too much with some other layers or identities or roles, that we begin to end up in some places where we might not be as expansive because we've shut down by taking on all those different ideas about who it is we think we are or who it is we told we were told we were, that begins to clutter up that awareness of who we actually truly are underneath that all. And as we work within those, there is a few different meridians, as I mentioned, that go with this guy. The heart and the small intestine are the two big guys. Along with that, the pericardium and the triple heater. I talked a little bit about the triple heater yesterday with the three burners. It likes to take information in or food in, digest it, and then release it. This is a very quick overview of these guys. And then the pericardium I spoke about maybe a day or two ago. It's that external lining of the heart. Although Chinese medicine doesn't necessarily consider that the actual correlates, which I think is interesting. So this is an Allison association to an extent. And the pericardium meridian is thought to have more of the functionality of constricting, protecting the heart to prevent it from getting hurt. And often enough, what hurts it is actually the fact that the pericardium is getting just a little bit too knotted up and tight in some areas. So there's some definite irony in the mix for sure when we're looking at these realms. Now, the heart and the small intestine are the two sort of more well-known ones. Small intestine works with our discernment, works with our awareness, works with our intellect. We've talked about it here and there. And the small intestine meridian energy, organ alike, happens to correlate to the energy of the sixth house, working with Virgo and working with Mercury. And if we take in all of those pieces, Virgo being very analytical, very practical, Mercury being intellectual, having curiosity from that left brain perspective, and interested in communication. All of those correlates to the energy of house number six, which is very much in line with taking practical action that's in service to your health, of all of you, which in turn is meant to expand. Yeah. To us, to our maximum, when we're being in service to our health. The heart meridian works with house number five, the sign of Leo, and the energy of the sun, which connects us to our fullest life force potential possible. The sun is considered to be more of a yang planetary energy overall. Having said that, though, I think it's pretty close to even, darn near. The sun is not just supportive of new growth, new life, but also it works with a form of protection. Without a certain amount of UV exposure, we actually end up with illnesses, all sorts of illnesses galore. We're actually meant to be healed by the light of the sun. So it's actually meant to protect us. Yeah. So because it's got protection, yang, and growth, yin, I tend to think of the sun as a pretty even balanced planetary energy. Slightly more on the yang side overall is what it's considered to be. As it hangs out here in this energy of the fifth house is very much about play, pleasure. This is the house of the inner child and creativity. So it's really the place where we get to play, laugh, experiment, be curious just for the sake of exploring life and having some adventures. So the energy of the fifth house and Leo are an interesting thing too. They both connect us to our sense of spirit and to our sense of, I would say creativity. Leo is very much about, let's go take on the world. I'm burning on fire. Let's go see what we can explore and create today. Has a lot of other things too, but it's very much interested in creating pleasure in particular. So maybe that would be a better synopsis, creative pleasure. So in a way, this also is an invitation to actually connect us to our sensual side. which makes sense because the heart, even though the planetary energy of the sun is a little bit more yang, the heart itself is more yin, it's feminine. And that small intestine is the masculine counterpart in a way. Chinese medicine acknowledges that these two don't have quite the same symbiotic yin-yang relationship as others do. Hard to match the heart, quite frankly. The heart's energy field is 60 to 100 times bigger than any other energy field. The heart has something pretty particularly special going on with it. It actually never, ever stops. And it's thought to be more of a brake than a pump. So it's thought to actually, the way our blood moves through our blood vessels is set up to actually be on autopilot. But the heart is meant to stop and give your blood a break. It's meant to take a rest. So every time the heart contracts, it's actually giving your blood the service, the favor of a little mini vacation. And then when it releases, then the blood can feel free to keep on moving as it was intended to do, cleanly and easily. It's the physics, it's just the thermo, not thermal, it's the, I'm losing my fancy words, but it's the I'll call it the physics dynamics of movement. Given the shape of the blood vessel, given the shape of the blood cell, they are meant to self-propel all the way through. And the only way they would ever stop is if the heart took a moment to contract and say, hang on, pause. Okay, now you can go and expand fully again. And in the gift of the pause, as they have a momentary recharge, setting the stage to support them for even more maximum growth, even more maximum life. Yeah. Overall, this element of fire correlates to the energy of summer. So for us in the Northern Hemisphere, we're right in it. Those of us in the Southern Hemisphere are opposite right now. So you're getting to learn about it through its opposition. Yeah, how is that for wisdom indeed? Hey guys, I appreciate that chat feature. And what else can I tell you about the fire element? It's meant to bring harmony. Your heart is meant to give rise to your deep wisdom, your deep knowing, and the small intestine to, again, that awareness, discernment piece. And these two are meant to function together to give rise to that sense of harmony and ease and flow again. Now, I didn't talk too much about the triple heater and the pericardium. I'll very briefly talk about these guys. The triple heater correlates to house number 10, which is very much about career, achievement, recognition, outward self-expression. So it helps us, this meridian helps us to synchronize and integrate. It also connects us to our endocrine system, which is considered to be the sensual counterpart to the nervous system sexuality. So when we balance endocrine and nervous system, it's another way of balancing sensuality, sexuality, or feminine, masculine, or yin-yang. Yeah. So with that, the triple heater correlates to the sign of Capricorn, the planetary energy of Saturn, which is very much about getting things done. Let's have some ambition, let's have order, let's create structure, let's make things happen. Which ties in nicely with that energy of the career, achievement, recognition part. Outward self-expression alike. As we talk about the pericardium, heart constrictor, it correlates to Sagittarius, along with the planetary energy of Jupiter, also about expansion and growth, and very much from a right brain perspective, interested in learning, whether that's philosophical or religious pursuits or anything along those more less science-oriented realms, and more arts focused in terms of our thinking, which involves a very different type of logic. It involves thinking out of the box. And as we think out of the box, it develops more of a lateral logic side of type of approach, I'll say it that way. And this correlate to the ninth house is very much appropriate because it also works with things like philosophy, religion, intuition. The heart constrictor, how that might tie in just a little bit, is meant to, again, protect the heart and to make sure that it's not taking in too much of things that we overwhelm our system. So if we overwhelm our system, we don't end up feeling good. We don't end up feeling the sensuality pieces. And I should be really clear on that. Sensuality is not just about feeling the good stuff. It's also about feeling the things that might not be so good. So they too can enter our awareness so we can sit with them and be with them and give rise to that discernment, intellect, awareness, maybe from a right brain perspective in this case, that gives rise again to that maximum growth, expansion, and life. Oh, I'm going to paraphrase this heavily, and I believe it comes from the author of The Presence Process, Michael Brown, is it? And he says something to the effect of, it's not about feeling better, it's about getting better at feeling. So it's not about feeling better, it's about getting better at feeling. And I think the fire element very much is in line with that to support us at getting better at being able to feel all the feelings to again help us to feel like we can reach out and expand to grab more life again. For some of us, we may be pre-programmed to be a little bit on the smaller side, to shut down, to not quite go for it. We've learned maybe that times in which we took that risk didn't pay off, which doesn't mean, abandon all caution. It just means take a look at where our risk assessment might actually be. And how does that correlate to what it is you're actually desiring to reach out and expand into having more of? What are you cultivating in your life? Said another way. No? Okay, how am I doing on time? Doing not bad. I'm going to talk briefly about, let's see, one more thing here to do with the meridians. So, and how they correlate to the muscles in this case. So I won't talk about them individually. That might just be a little overwhelming. But for the muscles, the fire element muscles overall, for all four meridians, are the rectus abdominis, that abdominal muscle more in the center that helps us to do those sit-ups. Quadricep muscles. Ooh, I can show off my butterfly pants. I wore them today. I'm talking about Buddhas and butterflies in a bit. So our quad muscles and a muscle in our calf called the gastrocnemius, the soleus, the gracilis are in there too, all fancy names for calf muscles. And the calf muscles, I think, tend to hold a little bit of self-deprecation energy along with control, along with control. It's interesting how those might be limiting our connection to expansion. And the big heart muscle is the subscap. And the subscapularis is a part of your shoulder rotator muscles. It's found deep within the armpit. So if you've ever had your massage therapist, welcome Charlie. If you've ever had your massage therapist dig right into that armpit and you're like, oh, it has a particular rainbow of pain. That's how I like to describe the subscapularis. And when somebody's right in there, it can feel like they're massaging your soul. It's pretty deep in there. So the subscapularis is the heart muscle, and it's often the biggest muscle behind frozen shoulder syndrome. One of those rotator cuff muscles, and there's a few, that help to, when it's tight, clamp things down. And that in turn is protecting your heart. So the frozen shoulder has really nothing to do with the shoulder, has everything to do with how is it when we're guarding our heart? How is it to have our heart open? That might feel too vulnerable. So over time, the heart might tend to get really guarded and tightened up by having these compressions. And if it happens a lot, we can even see postural changes begin to happen within the body because of that need for heart protection. Shoulder issues are often just that, heart protection issues. What other muscles am I missing? The glutes. The glutes are a big heart muscle. And it's thought in our glute muscles that we store our Yuan Qi, which is in Chinese medicine referred to as the sands of time. So how long we might live, we can see in how the energy is, how the Yuan Qi is around our glute muscles. Yeah? It's why we're, as a culture, I'm pretty sure, really obsessed with like noticing how's my butt looking today. Yeah, It might have an element of vanity, but you might, on another level, without even knowing it, be checking out your vitality. How's life doing? No? Just a fun play on that all. And the other muscle that hangs out here in the region of the glutes, but runs more horizontal, is the piriformis. If our piriformis is out, our hips will end up lopsided one way or the other, which can make things like pregnancy quite challenging, or sitting quite challenging, or sciatica quite challenging if our piriformis tightens up. A certain amount of people even have the sciatic nerve running right through that piriformis muscle. So if that happens and the piriformis acts up, odds are high you're going to notice that and you're going to have that flare up of sciatica. You might even think, oh, what did I do? How did I lift that thing? It was kind of heavy when I was renovating. However, this might be a heart protection issue happening. Yeah. So there is a lot of ways that we can continue to sort of dance and play with these. I think those are really honestly best explored in session. So we're going to get into that in just a minute. Just before we do, really quick announcement. I won't spend too long talking about it. We have the announcement of Buddhas and Butterflies. We're opening up another round of Buddhas and Butterflies. In case you're wondering what the heck Buddhas and Butterflies is, let me show you. I'm actually going to do a very quick screen share if I can find what I need. There we go. Okay, and in the website, vibranttransformation.com, if you scroll down in any of the online workshops, you will see a series of things. The Buddhas and Butterflies ones is right at the top, so very easy to find. And Buddhas and Butterflies is available for anyone who's a self-healer or a healthcare practitioner. It is much like we've been exploring this series, fear, anger, grief, worry, joy, sadness. There's an integration call happening tomorrow night at 6:30. We're going to take that same flow, that same pattern, and drop it into exploring the eight extra meridians. I so adore getting to do this. This is now the fourth year in a row of opening up Buddhas and Butterflies. I only open it up once a year. Otherwise, I can't give it the same kind of focus, and my own nervous system gets a little bit strained if I'm always thinking about having to talk about, Buddhas and Butterflies constantly, which might get kind of annoying too. So I do it as a not as like an advertising gimmicky thing, but really so I can give it my focus. And for the next 4 days, I'm going to be focusing on just that. So if you guys have any questions, comments, queries about Buddhas and Butterflies, I invite you to ask away. I'll be available. Okay. So the reason I love this so much is that I get to help people who are interested in health, whether that's for themselves, their families, their healthcare businesses. And that means I get to reach out to support the maximum amount of people possible. I do cap it though, so I only have a max of 50 people. We have about 30 or so continuing onwards, and this last round I only had 40. So I'm upping it just a little bit this year, and we have a room for another 18 people or so, I think. I have to double check my math on that, but we do have some spots open. So if you're interested, the $77 a month, or if you pay for the whole year, you get a couple of months free at $770 a year. If you do it by end of day tomorrow, you get a couple of bonuses. I'll let you check that out there. There's a couple of courses, Core Reveal and Release and Treat Your Heart. And if you don't do it by the end of day on Saturday and you choose to pay the yearly amount, the annual amount, anytime by Monday when the doors close at midnight, you'll also get the one of the bonuses. So all is not lost. But if you're interested and you're hearing this now, I would definitely get in on the sweet bonuses while you can, if you're curious to check those out. And it's really just my gift to you because I love it when people commit. I'm all about commitment. I think it's a love language for me. So in terms of leaning in and doing things, that's a sweet spot for me. So I'm gonna happily pay that forward with a nice little reward or treat of sorts, if you want it. And in terms of the idea behind this all, this was really about cultivating a safe container where you can show up every week as you are and be greeted in the same way, no matter how it is you're showing up, with all of your stuff. And then every week, we'll be taking a look at what that stuff is and how that correlates to our weekly theme. So, as a sample schedule, I have one over here. I've got a lot of information up there. I'll come back to that maybe just shortly in a bit. But for example, we would start on June 8th. We would have our first session on transforming fear in that particular meridian. Next week, anger. Next week, grief. Then we pause and we have an integration week. In that integration week, I typically end up doing a session, but I might end up also doing some other bells and whistles. We might spend time focusing on questions. We might do release work. We might do some breath work. We might do a wide variety of things. So it might be in the form of a session, just as the fear, anger, grief were. And we might play with some other tools. We'll see how it rolls out. Excuse me. And each month is really just a exploration of those particular themes. And then the next month, we rotate into the worry, sadness, all of the extra emotions. And I'll be talking about these guys more on tomorrow's call on Saturday at 6:30 Mountain Time. The extra emotions, as I sometimes call them, or really the combination emotions might be a better term for that. They're combinations, pardon me, of different things and different things for different people at different times. So they are kind of like a moving target to a certain extent. Overwhelm, for example, might be overwhelm of a bunch of different things, yet the impact of overwhelm is still remarkably the same for most of us. Okay, and then we keep on rotating through that as we make our way through all eight meridians. So one of my, oh gosh, I have so many favorite things. I can't believe I started that sentence off that way. Let me try again. A few of my favorite things is getting to support people in this way who are committed to looking for that other way, who are committed to having a maybe more lighthearted way of exploring some of these deeper aspects within ourselves. And as we come to work with these sorts of things, over time, we begin to less and less identify with the need to have these be a certain way, to make us feel a certain way, to feed perhaps even our sense of self-importance to an extent. If you are craving a little bit of a deeper dive on a regular basis, in a way that's also easily digestible, because we're spreading the sessions out once a week, and they're recorded, so you can access them really whenever you like, and they're here to serve you. So when you're in the place to receive them, you get to have them. You can also join us live. They are typically on Wednesdays. And in terms of the timing, I know I have a sample schedule there, but I always ask the group when we get going again every year what times work best for them. We take a vote on it and we pick a couple of times that work well for people because I work with people all over the globe. So it's not uncommon for me to have students from Australia, New Zealand, South America, Canada, US, and other places across the board. If I didn't say your place, don't worry. Odds are high, we've worked there. And I tend to see a very international, global audience roll on through. So, for that reason, to accommodate the time, we'll do the vote. Classically, for the last 2 years, actually, it's been 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Mountain Time. So, I've honored that. And whatever people decide is what we'll do. So this is really that opportunity just to hit that pause button for an hour out of your week and have that on demand for a pretty, I think, economical price, which is also why I offer it. It was a call really years and years ago to do group work, and I wanted to see how well that worked. So I started it off by doing complimentary body talk study groups. And then I had people listen to the recordings. And they found that they were getting just as good a result, if not even better, because they were doing it at a time that worked well for them versus, another time where they might have been forcing themselves to push through in a way. And the feedback, much like it has been in these last 4 days, is I thought that session was just for me. And yet I had, 40 people saying this about one session. So that caught my ear. And I thought, okay, there's something to this. This does indeed work really well. And after I tested it out for a couple of years, I started to create bigger online workshops, which you'll see all over my website. And they have a heftier price tag, some of them. So this one is probably the most economical way that I get to serve the most amount of people, which meets my needs, and I'm hoping it meets yours too. So if that works for you, feel free to head on out to vibranttransformation.com, check out Buddhas and Butterflies. There's all the juicy information, a whole lot that I did not get into. And I'll talk maybe a bit about it tomorrow, or if you have any questions about it that you want me to directly speak to, I am happy to do that tomorrow as well. Okay, I digress. All right, my loves, we're gonna dive into session mode here in just another minute. And as we settle in, invitation to make any micro adjustments in your body. If you could make yourself 10% more comfortable, what would that be? And as we settle in, invitation to breathe. We happen to have an active Buddhas and Butterflies member in the chat feature saying, I'll read it. Sacred space and place / support, best self-care ever. And a whole bunch of hearts and prayer hands and butterflies. So thank you for your enthusiasm. And as we settle in with that breath, every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive, to expand into life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to allow. In every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. You're hearing a bit of background doggy noise as Charlie settles. And as you sink into that cushion below you, if any part of that is pleasant, or at the very least neutral, taking a moment to be with that, soak that in, and receive its support for the nourishment that it very well may be. And I'm going to invite you to now scan. If it's more comfortable to keep your eyes open, feel free to scan the external environment. Or if you're open to closing your eyes and dropping inward, scanning the internal environment. And as you scan, once again, looking for anything that's pleasant or at the very least neutral. And whatever you land on, taking a moment to notice what it is you like the most about this thing, this area, this part of you. And as you notice those things that you like about it, taking time to pause and savor them and receive them just a little deeper. And as you take that in, noticing the impact, how does this feel inside of you? And any part of that that feels pleasant or neutral, granting yourself permission to savor this nourishment as well. And as you savor this, I'll offer my thanks. Thank you for being here and calling this medicine in. And thank you to all that's made that possible. Thank you to your families, your communities, your ancestors, your lineage. And the deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded this land that's nourished us all. And as you take that in, invitation to take a moment to just mindfully notice the impact of those words. And if any part of that felt pleasant, taking that in as well. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. As you drink that all in, you may begin to even notice other parts of you now that are perhaps not so pleasant or neutral to be with. And if anything in particular is calling your attention, I invite you to declare your intention for today's session. You can type it into the chat feature to me privately or to the group. And then I think Charlie's settled now. He was moving around a little bit today. He just got his hair cut yesterday, so he's all itchy. We gave him a bath yesterday, but it always takes a few days for that skin to, he's so sensitive, to calm down again. So as we move into session mode here, we're interestingly starting off in house number 10, house of that career achievement recognition, outward self-expression, the house of the triple heater meridian that brings in synchronicity, that connects us to the health of our endocrine glands. And as we work with all of that, we're simply connecting the 10th house into that meridian, helping us to more readily be in synchronicity with our capacity to digest our food, our life, our events, and our emotions, including the emotions that may have come to light that you may not even know were there as you've spent some time exploring them in these past few days. And as they arise for observation, for clarity, to be seen, to be witnessed, to have their stories heard in their own way, we get to receive them. The question becomes is, how do we receive that information? And we're linking that into the pericardium. Is it closing off or is it opening up to receive that information? And it might be closing off just because it doesn't have the resources it needs to actually be with that all. So to support that, we're going to bring in circulation of all the basic healing resources to that pericardium, including blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help all of us to heal, in particular our nervous and our immune system. Then we're also circulating the balance overall of yin and yang. And as we do that, running hydration, helping the cells of the pericardium to take up water, to receive the joy of the heart, as well as its own joy, and to release any impurities that may be getting in the way. And one of those might even be in the form of this particular belief system, that vulnerability is weak. It's coming off of, it looks like, the left side of the heart, and that space between the two chambers, the space between the upper and the lower, the atria and the ventricle. Yeah, and as it works within that valve that's here, it's actually creating a bit of a rigidity within that valve of the heart. This mitral valve, fancy name. We're just going to do a couple things. We're going to unwind some tension, unwind some adhesed tissue in here. And along with the permissions, it is safe to open up. It's safe to open up now. And it's orienting to time frame age 4. In which this began to shut down or figure out that there was something that wasn't safe to be open here in this way. And as we release that memory, that charge of whatever that may have been for you, linking it into the left lung for oxygenation, for support, but more so for new beginnings, new opportunities, new possibilities. And as we do that, simultaneously connecting heart 1 acupuncture point, which hangs out deep in that armpit, right, by that subscapularis muscle, to lung 1, which hangs out on the upper outer edge of the chest. And as we link these guys together, in a way, giving them a buddy system, so that way they don't have to feel like they're each doing the job alone, that there's somebody here for support. And with that running the permissions, there's support now. There's support now. And with that, I actually see not just the subscap, but the varying rotator cuff muscles of the shoulder begin to unwind. And as they unwind, opening up and taking some pressure off of that mitral valve. And then going into the muscle layer, the myocardium of the heart. And here there is a layer of sadness, not just from this lifetime, but through, it's actually both sides, mom's and dad's side. We're gonna start with dad's side first. And on dad's side, going back a fair ways, 10 generations. And it looks like they were actually born with their cord wrapped around their neck, and it led to not quite brain damage, but emotional immaturity, like the incapacity to actually have their emotional state reach adulthood. And otherwise, like everything else, matured just fine, but it was like they were just a little bit stunted in growth, but just on the emotional side of things. And as we do that, running a cellular repair, restoring cells back to the fullest potential of health, not just then, but also now, on your amygdala complex and his. And that amygdala complex that we spoke about, I think more so on the first day, maybe the second as well to some degree, is that part of our brain, a limbic brain part, an emotional brain part, that makes decisions based on fear, anger, and rage. And in the result of that, often ends up in overreacting versus responding. So here, we're just simply running circulation of all the healing resources that I mentioned earlier, the blood, the nerve, the lymph, etc. And simultaneously with that, unwinding a fair amount of connective tissue. It almost looks folded in on itself. And as it begins to unfurl one layer at a time, it's reminding me almost like of a scroll that opens up and unfolds. And as it unfolds, there's actually a whole lot of ancestral wisdom here too, which was maybe a little bit buried underneath or disguised. And as we work with it, allowing for the parts of this wisdom that came from living in that lifetime, and allowing that to still be here with the wisdom of your emotional maturity, because it gets to be different now. And as we marry all of that wisdom together, connecting it into the amygdala complex, that is, into the prefrontal cortex, the center of wisdom, of compassion, of empathy, the connection to higher self, whatever that means, is here. And then we're linking it to the governing vessel 20 point, which hangs out roughly in the center of the crown and governs our habit patterns. And as we release that through the male lineage, through dad's side of the family, as well as from your inner masculine, your yang, that all settles down and the feminine is ready to be also seen and heard, as if we needed the masculine to actually go first in a way to give that sense of, as the feminine is unfolding, that the masculine is stable enough to receive that. That it won't be overwhelmed in a way. So, the masculine feeling more stable. And we look at now mom's side, we're going back 6 generations on again the emotional frequencies. But this is actually of overwhelm. And it was chronic, long-standing overwhelm that didn't ever really end. And as a result, led to some depression. Some need for just a break, really, is all that was or is. And as we release that through mum's side of the family lines, it's also coming off of the heart and lung one points that we were working with earlier. And as that all releases through the family lines, through your acupuncture points, through your own meridians, as well as that of the maternal lines. Running another round of hydration and connecting that into the nervous system as well as into your right brain. And as we hydrate, bringing in not just water and joy, releasing any impurities that don't need to be here, but supporting overall emotional flow, emotional connection. And running a permission, granting permission, it's safe to have emotions now. And in the face of that chronic overwhelm, it looks like all they really knew how to do was to shut down, isolate, numb out, cope out, suppress, which just led to more overwhelm. So within this is a seed of the belief system, I am my own worst enemy. And as we release that, we're also releasing any of the underlying martyr, like, can't you see how hard my life has been? Yeah, and the expectation for others to know something without being, informed by it. And as we release that, my life has been so hard. I invite you, if it feels right for you, to do, I was thinking it might come up yesterday, but it didn't, that exercise that I very briefly touched on around get off my back. I'm going to invite you, if you're laying or sitting, to make this kind of motion, or it can be like this too, if that's easier, depending upon the angle that your body might be calling for. And as you press your elbows into that which is behind you, your chair, the floor, there's just a simple statement that you can say even internally if you can't speak out loud easily right now. And the words here are, get off my back. And then I'm going to invite you to make that motion slowly. And to do it a few times. And as it releases through your back body, There might be other information that floats up to the surface. It's all welcome. And as it unfolds, running the permissions through the entire maternal lineage, I can hold myself up now. I can hold myself up now. And with that, I see the weight to actually just get a little bit lighter, a little bit easier to carry. Not just because the system's been fortified, but because there's less there to be held as intensively. And as this begins to soften through mom's side of the family lines, there's another round of get off my back that's calling you. Feel free. And as that releases through all six generations, it also serves those going forward. And then we're linking that all to house number 12, house of releasing, ending, allowing, house of that liver meridian. That helps us to again release those old karmic patterns, this time through the family lines. And on that note, running the permissions. What if I'm not my parents? Not to take away from your parental contribution to you getting to be here, having a body. But what if you're not limited in the same ways that those voices might still be telling you, that you got from mom and dad, from whoever played those roles for you in your life? What if I'm not my parents? And if there is any mom or dad voice in there that arises, feel free to just hand that back to them. And they have the option to hand it back to wherever they got it from. And then we're linking that once again into house number 12, house of releasing, letting go, allowing, surrendering, not just for this lifetime, but for those that have gone before you. And with that, we're linking it into kidney 24 points that you might have noticed I was sort of touching on my chest as we were working with the family line stuff. As these are the points of the ancestral spiritual burial grounds. And as they get linked into house number 12, they happen to be right next door to the compassion centers, and we're actually linking them into compassion. And as you connect to your centers of compassion for you, just hear the word, much like the voice of compassion might say, hurt people, hurt people. And as much as that's available, you may even offer that to mom, dad, whoever played those roles for you, if that's comfy to do so. And if not, let that be, let that be. And if that triggered anything juicy for you, just a suggestion of it, feel free to do another round of get off my back. Remembering your resource, you can call that in any time, the thing that you found that was pleasant at the very beginning of the session. And then we're linking this all now into the heart chakra, heart brain, the Shen, the center of I am, the center of your spirit, the center of your essence. The center of your connection to that which is eternal. And linking it as well into house number 5, which brings in that energy of the sun right along with it, the planetary energy that invites us to the fullest expression of our individual potential. And as we work with this connection to all things heart, whether it's the meridian, the chakra, the nervous system, the center of spirit, or anything else around the heart, we're doing an emotional release. of sadness that's been carried long enough. And as much as it's available, I'll invite you, even if you're not doing the get off my back part, to literally make whatever motion might feel right with your hands, to imagine that you can set down what it is you've been carrying. And feel free to rinse and repeat that a few times. And as you engage in that, I'll offer a few things here simultaneously for this piece of sadness that's lodged between all those different layers and ways of looking at the heart. In essence, giving it its own little mini body talk session. We're going to start off with house number 6, which works with being in practical service to our health and linking it to the heart chakra for its role in creating harmony. Perhaps the sadness, depression, energy that was here was nothing more than a call for deeper rest in our go-go world, which might be tough, challenging to find. And then we're linking that into house number 5, house of play, pleasure, to have this happen in a way that becomes gradually more and more lighthearted, more and more connecting to the childlike energies of play, innocence, curiosity. When did we stop asking why? When did we stop asking how? When did we stop asking those deeper curious questions around life itself? And as you get invited to connect with that energy, linking it into house number 8 to supportively work with that rebirth, regeneration, and then into the planetary energy of the sun one more time. This time to promote new growth, new life, expansion to the fullest. To support that, running a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health for the physical pericardium, as well as for the rhomboid muscles that run between the shoulder blade and the spine. There's some rage back there. There's some anger. Common to see anger and sadness hang out together. I may have mentioned that a few days ago. And as this comes off of the rhomboid, the anger that's meant for expansion for the wood element to, in a way, become kindling for the fire element to reach even more maximum expansion, becomes available. There's more energy for this fire of your heart to burn a little bit brighter. And as the fire begins to burn brighter in the heart, the call for deep rest gets to soften and fade to whatever measure that fire gets to burn a little bit brighter. Perhaps the sadness was there for no other reason than to convulse, to call you into invitation, to see what was really here with compassion, with empathy, so that you too can get to know each other a little bit more deeply, however that may serve you or your loved ones in life. And as the heart begins to become alive, and those layers of that pericardium begin to soften, I see it spontaneously now just releasing a series of fears around playing small, having to shut down or isolate or dim your brightness in whatever way. And as those fears just fall away, as this expansion project of the heart becomes underway even more, and its fire, its vitality burns just a little bit brighter now. In a way, using that fear as a form of even another form of kindling, to help this fire be stoked even higher, even brighter. And then we're linking this all into circulation, specifically of lymph this time, draining toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, And we're running that lymphatic circulation for the entire chest wall and the entire back wall. And as it releases low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, all those restrictions that have carried the voice of you don't deserve this, you're not enough. Those voices, wherever they get heard from, gets to be handed back to you. And as the body mind opens just a little bit more through the front and the back of the heart alike now, running the permissions, there's room for all of me now. There's room for all of me now. And releasing just another layer of that conditioning of being told who it is you are, and how you should be, and how you should act. And it's falling off of the left atrium. And with it goes a little bit of anger of like, how dare you tell me who I am or how I should be or how I should act. And as that anger releases, with it any righteous indignation around any perceived like martyrdom or suffering. And as that goes with it, linking now into governing vessel 14. That hangs out of the base of the spine where you can sometimes feel that knobby vertebrae, that C7 vertebrae, stick out just a little bit more than the others. And it governs all things masculine, all things young. And this is actually linking into very specifically the heart's counterpoint to an extent, not quite as symbiotic as the other relationships, into the small intestine, into the young. So as the heart opens up, it gets to do so in alignment with awareness, intellect, discernment, and the capacity, as governing vessel 14 would have it, to act. To that might even involve a change in action, or taking a step forward to start action. To produce new results, to make things happen, is the love of all things young. Yeah, and as we connect to the yang energy, also pulling the body out of any excessive stillness from the depression that may have been almost like a habit that got formed that may not actually need to be there anymore. It just might be residue in a way. Yeah, and as we find that right balance of action, stillness, or activity and stillness, for you, linking that into the midline, into the third eye region, into the intuition, insights, brow chakra. And as we link that into the brow chakra, connecting you to your deeper inner knowing of what the right action might be, and linking that into, again, the crown, to governing vessel 20. To release any old habit patterns of that residue of depression or sadness or excessive stillness, sedentary lifestyles, etc. To be digested, released. And linking that into the crown chakra now for its role in transcendence. Often offers a new point of view when we hang out from this perspective. And that's again linking into house 12, releasing, letting go, surrendering, allowing, peeling back the layers of who it is you are not. And then I see the sun come into the back of the heart, lighting it up from the inside out. That back body is often where we store things that we don't want anybody else to see. So in the back of our heart goes all like the rawr, or the depression, or the eh, and I don't want you, and eh, all the grumpiness. Get stored there. And imagine as the sun enters that that's all welcomed in a way where it actually just sort of softens and releases all on its own because it's quite enjoying the light of the sun in preference to the role of grumpiness that it was hanging on to. All that good opening around get off my back has paid off. And as we bring in the energy of the sun into this back body, in a way, giving it a resource, fortifying it, strengthening it, helping it to become more resilient all the way through the nerves of that heart brain, as well as all things heart, heart chakra, heart meridian, center of I am, the actual physical organ of the heart. And even into now the sacred geometrical representation of the heart, which is thought to form, much like our red blood cells, a toroidal energy field. It forms a double torus, which means it's constantly pulling energy in and cycling energy in to allow for that natural movement to be there. Movement and flow is natural. Stopping it to give it a rest is also natural. But again, finding that right balance of activity and stillness here at the very center of the heart, all the way into its energy field and its configuration of that double torus. And as we work with it on this level, looking at, in essence, that double torus, it's a bit of a stretch, not your classic sacred geometrical thing. That double torus, double meaning two, coming from both mom and from dad. And if we could just do a vibaxis on that to realign how it is mom's energy and dad's energy are interacting with each other, and however you were specifically at birth, they might not have been entirely in the same even keeled emotional stable place that would have been lovely to be welcomed into. I don't know anybody's parents who has. So in a way, we're just reorienting mom and dad's heart energy as you were born and began to imprint and learn off of that what it was to have a heart, what it was to be a human, what it was to have vitality, what it was to take action, what it was to take a moment for stillness. And in that clashing of mom and dad's ideas around all of that, there was a little bit of confusion. Literally, something got fused here that didn't need to be. So as we, well, when I say that, I really mean it's actually all perfect as to how it's unfolded up to now. And now that it's brought up these awarenesses, it's actually ready to go another direction. So as we remodel in a way or bring that alignment of that double torus energy between mom and dad now into your heart space, I see it connect in a way that provides more centered, calm, curious connection right in the very center of you. And from there, it begins to radiate out your own personal imprint now. Yeah, so how it is we relate to mom and dad give us the opportunity for us to revisit who it is we are truly. And as we look at that essence of who it is and what it is we really are, what it is we're made of, linking the awareness of whatever that means to you into the heart to radiate even more deeply out, letting the truth of your existence flow now through your arteries, through your veins. And as that flows and rides through the bloodstream, linking it eventually to all of the cells in the entire system, out to the very energy fields themselves, the Wei Qi, the chakras, the meridians, and expanding this heart energy into all aspects of you via that flow, perhaps not necessarily in form of blood vessel now, but perhaps in other energetic flows of that double toroidal energy. And as this is flowing physically, energetically, in new ways of life, I'm going to invite you to grant yourself a few breaths, however the body mind may feel called to, as we tap this part in. If you feel called to tap along, you're welcome to do so, not required. We're going to integrate that all by running diaphragm to intestines, which is beautiful homework as well for anybody feeling like they're having emotions enter their awareness that might be a little too strong, as well as that resourcing. So for diaphragm to intestines, we take our hand to the regular breathing diaphragm, and then they're going to go down to the intestines. And as we sweep that, invitation to breathe, and can't get me all on camera at the same time, and then tap. You can separate out the motions of the sweeping and then do the tapping if you like, if that's easier. It's actually harder for me to separate them out these days. And then to integrate that part just a little bit more, we're going to do switching, which helps to cope or deal with stress. And as we work with this guy, I'm going to invite you to breathe. This guy also releases blind sides or old shock energy and helps it to resolve and no longer continue those same patterns of stress that were associated from that underlying shock that was stored in the system. And I always think it's interesting that these acupuncture points that correlate to the switching reflex points hang out just above the heart. And then one more piece to integrate. There's an acupuncture point just above the heart, Yin Wei Mo 14, I think is the number. And it connects us to the opening into our higher self. It's like the gateway, so to speak. As we hang out here, linking it into the ventricles of the brain that form the configuration of the Om, A-U-M symbol. Connecting you to perhaps that which is eternal, whatever your word for that may be. And then linking that into the heart and to all things fire elements. Breathing however the body mind feels called to you. I've already started to tap. I was so excited I couldn't even wait. Which would be a good example of that overexcitement. And as it's in the room, if there is any lingering overexcitement on your end, linking that into the heart for resolution here as well. Knowing that we have tomorrow to integrate even more. If there's anything feeling like it's outstanding in some way, feel free to let me know. And as we bring this session in for a nice soft landing, I'm going to offer you a very brief song. It's called The Wind by Cat Stevens, one of my favorites. It's about a minute and 42 seconds.
Listen to the wind of my soul. Where I'll end up, well, I think only God really knows. I've sat upon the setting sun, but never, 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 never. I never wanted water once. Never, never, never. I listen to my words, but they fall far below. I let my music take me where my heart wants to go. I swam upon the devil's lake, but never, 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 I'll never make the same mistake. No, never, never, never.
Thank you all for the time, the energy that you've spent in these ways over these past 5 days. I look forward to doing it one more time. Tomorrow night at 6:30, you're welcome to hop on, same Zoom information. All of it will be recorded and in the and posted into the Transform Emotions into Energy series as well. And as we bring this all into an ending of sorts for today, I'm going to just offer my gratitude once again for you, your presence, for being here, and really leaning into this work. Thank you for all of your feedback. I so appreciate that all. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Blessings on your journey. Mwah. Bye for now, y'all. Feel free to stick around. If anybody needs additional one-on-one support, I'm available. And for anybody listening to the recording, you can always reach out with an email, and I'll get back to you as quickly as I can on all of that. And in between now and tomorrow, feel free to check out Buddhas and Butterflies. If you have any questions about that, let me know and I'm happy to address those. Okay. And yes, you're most welcome. Yay, you can feel your chakras moving. Fun. Ooh, goosebumps today. Very cool. Okay, bye for now, y'all.